bless you. It's good to see you. We got some good friends, amen, that can give you a hand with that. Okay, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. We're going to go over some quick announcements before we get started, as usual. First of all, I'd just like to thank God for all of you who came to church today. Praise the Lord. That's one step in the right direction. You did not forsake the assembling of yourselves. That's awesome. And I just want to let you know that I am so thankful whenever folks come to church today, and it's a blessing to see the saints. Church is meant to be with people. Amen. There's no Facebook church in the Bible. There's no YouTube church in the Bible. There's no TikTok church in the Bible, Instagram church in the Bible, and whatever else is out there. There's none of that. It's fellowship. It's physical assembly. It's congregating. We need each other. And so I just want to say thank you for allowing us the opportunity to be here for you as well. Quick announcements, not to take too much time from the message today. I believe it's really important. But I just want to remind you, your church gets together every Saturday to go soul winning. I just want to give a shout out to my boy, Antonio Gibby, in the house. Amen. He joined us yesterday with his lovely, amazing mother, Sister Anna. She was a blessing also. She wanted to volunteer with our church. And of course, I just kind of let her know, hey, just let your pastor know that you're helping us out today, because we always want to be respectful of churches and pastors. And when members go to another church or they help out each other, just let your pastor know, let them know, so that way they can know out of love. Because remember, every member is accountable to their own pastor. So you just want to let them know, hey, brother, I'm just going to be over here, help out. So I'm so glad she came with us. She was a help to us. And that was a blessing. So we prayed together, got our bagels, and we got some scripture, and we just went out there. Diego had a couple of interactions. I'm sorry, not Diego. Gibby had a couple of interactions. I miss you, Diego, man. So I'm good to see you. But it was great. He had some, when he knocked on our door, Gibby just introduced himself. He said, here we are with our church, and we just want to invite you to church. He had two women share some good stories with him. They were happy to see a young guy out there inviting people to church. So that was a blessing. He had a couple of rejections, right, man? But that was fun. And then after we were done with door knocking, we went downtown to the beach, and that was his first time too. And that's all right, you know, a little shy, right, Gibby? But that's okay. He was handing out tracts with a smile. People were receiving them from him when they would walk by me. So I'm just so thankful that Gibby was willing to be obedient and faithful to help out with our church to soul win. Every Saturday, please, church, 10 o'clock, we meet here. We pray, we go door knocking, take a break, go downtown to the beach, and we call it a day. This Thursday on the 9th is our soul winning sunset downtown at the market. So please join your church again for another opportunity to evangelize. We meet here about 4:30, 4:45 to pray, get some tracts. We got our scripture signs. If you just want to hand out or hold a scripture sign and hand out tracts too, please join us. Discipleship class this Friday as well. Soul winning, again, Saturdays. That's the calendar. So y'all already know, please remain faithful, obedient to love the Lord enough to do what he said and do it with your church family. Let's do it together. Amen. The best we can. Study blogs. Here they are just to help you in your studies of the Bible. We're doing one of them for the Friday night discipleship, the Book of the Living. And yesterday, good little message, huh? Just learning more about blotting. So Gibby knows about blotting. He knows about the books, and I'm very proud of him from our fellowship yesterday while we had some Little Caesars pizza. That was a blessing. Live stream links, podcasts, Facebook, YouTube, you guys already know. Giving, again, you guys are aware now as Christians. You've been aware of the Bible long enough. You know what you should be doing as a Christian when it comes to finances. You guys know we don't preach tithing. We're not here to coerce you, make you feel bad if you don't. I'm just letting you know the Bible says, to give to your church, whoever that is right now. And I hope that this is your home church. If you consider me your pastor, then just be willing to be faithful and obedient with whatever you purpose in your heart to give to God with a cheerful heart, not grudgingly. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need my money. He's not benefited by my existence or my non-existence. He's eternally God. This is for his church. This is for the local assembly to be, if you will, maintained by the financial support of its members. So anytime you can do so, box back there, PayPal online, take care of that between you and God. See, it wasn't too hard, wasn't too difficult there. And I just wanted to let you guys know about that. Amen. All right. So with that said, I hope everybody's having a good week. And it's always good to see you guys. I want to get right into the message today. I believe it's really important. Would you do me a favor? Turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 17. And today's message is a topical. You say, what is that, brother? It's just a a message that is going to focus on a particular topic. But you guys know Brother Carlos and our kind of church, we're going to give you a lot of verses to support that topic. So today, I just want to let you know the title of the message is How God Responds to Wise and Foolish Children. How God responds to wise and foolish children. Today, I just want to show you from the Bible how God explains who his wise children are, who his foolish children are, and yet how he still loves them regardless. Because here's the good news. When you come to Jesus Christ and you ask him to save you, you become a born-again Christian. You have been reconciled to God. And you now have an unconditional love from God the Father because you are in his Son, Jesus Christ. No matter what you do, no matter what you do, you will be loved and you will be preserved because that's God's faithfulness to his word when he gave a promise to his Son, whosoever believes in you, I'll give him eternal life. But now while we're on the earth, while we're still alive and we're not in heaven, his children will either be one of two things. We'll either be wise children or we will be foolish children. I'm going to teach you today what the Bible says of either of the two. And I hope that as we go through this, that you will begin to examine yourself, which of the two am I? And lastly, whether you're a fool or whether you're wise, I want you to see the heart of God of how he expects us to still treat each other. And you're going to be surprised by the end of the day, not necessarily to condemn each other, not necessarily to judge each other, to make each other feel bad, but to love each other. To be kind to each other. Because what's going to help you, foolish child, to want to be wiser is knowing that God still loves you and his grace is still available to you. And if you're willing to start receiving his instruction, you can go from being foolish to being wise. And then you, wise children in here that are doing your best, you're being obedient, you're serving him the best of your ability, how to continue with that maturity, how to continue with that growth. But we should never begin to despise one another regardless of where we're at. We should never begin to condemn one another because of the lack of another or the height of and the growth of another. We should still be kind. And I'm going to show you that before we close today, that that's the heart of God the Father to sinners. So today, I hope this is a challenging message for you today to provoke you to love and good works, to consider, do you want to continue being wise? Here's how. And if you want to get out of foolishness, here's how. But if you want to continue in foolishness, then don't be surprised with how life ends up going for you because you're refusing instruction from the Word of God. That's what the Bible defines for us as foolish. I'm going to show you that. So here we have it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you would remove me out of your way. I just want to be a vessel. I just want to feed your church the Scripture. I pray your Holy Spirit, God, would please cover me today by the grace of God. And I pray, Lord, wherever I have an error in my human presentation of the Scripture, I pray your Holy Spirit will help to take the Word of God, to give it to each of these individuals how they need to hear it, how they need to receive it, God, whether correction, whether admonition, or comfort for those that are doing what you commanded them to do. If there's any weak brethren here tonight, God, if there's any weak sisters here tonight, Lord, would you teach them from today's message how they can get stronger, how they can get out of their foolishness to be wise. And tonight, God, I just pray no matter how we end up leaving from these doors, would you teach us the heart of God the Father, Holy Spirit, so no matter what happens, we will strive our best to continue to be kind and merciful and compassionate to members of the body of Christ. We thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Proverbs 17, look at verse number 9. The Bible says here, "He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends." Same chapter, verse 17. "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." I just want to point out to you the very first lesson that we want to learn today is when we consider ourselves Christians, and we consider ourselves friends of Christ, and then as we endure and we meet so many different Christians and other friends of Christ, I want you to see the heart of Christ. I want you to see the character and the mind of Christ from these scriptures to apply now to every single one of those individual relationships that you have with fellow Christians on the earth. According to the Bible, a friend loveth at all times. It doesn't say sometimes, and there is no conditions upon how you ought to love them. It says at all times. I'm not sure about you, friend, but when I've hurt somebody's feelings, they stop talking to me. When I try to call them, they won't answer my calls. So when I want to say I'm sorry, because I missed that friendship. Some of you know who you are, and you know exactly what I'm referring to, because either you've been the one who's offended, or you are the one who was easily offended by another, and hence your love kind of stopped right there. It came short. Today, if we want to be better friends like Christ, we need a love at all times. We'll get to the balances later about foolish brethren, and what about this, and what about, I understand, but what is your heart motive? In other words, that should be the last course. Before you look for a cop-out to say, I'm not going to talk to them because, no. The desire should first say, man, but what can I still try my best to do to be a friend at all times? So what's going to help you is verse number 9. The Bible says, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. What's going to help you to have long-lasting, enduring friendships is forgiveness. Forgiveness. According to the Bible, that's what love does. It covers a multitude of transgressions, the Bible says in the New Testament. Today, what's going to help you to continue to be a friend to other Christians, it doesn't matter if it's your pastor, it doesn't matter if it's your spouse, if you will, or other brethren from other churches, it's love. Because love seeks to what? Forgive. It seeks to cover. And what did we sing in our hymn today? What compelled love's salvation plan to come down to man? It was the love of Christ. The Bible says that upon Jesus Christ were laid all of your sins, your transgressions, and your faults against a holy God. And yet he did that for you anyways, because he loved you. So today, no matter what a brethren does to us, no matter how much they upset us, no matter how much they offend us, do you know that a friend that loves like Christ will seek to forgive? All right, let's go to chapter 16. And by the way, we're going to be in Proverbs, so just kind of hang out in there and then we'll go together. Proverbs 16. And let's go now to verse number 20. We got a lot of verses to go through. We're not going to really chop up a lot on these. We're just going to comment on them. I think it'll do its job. Look at verse 20. Here's how to handle problems with people when they come. And there are two ways the Bible defines for us today that are available for us on how to respond. Look at verse 20. Bible says, he that handleth the matter wisely shall find good. Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. There's a right way and there's a wrong way on how to handle a matter. There's a right way and there's a wrong way on how to handle problems with people, how to handle problems with fellow Christians, how to handle problems within your marriages, etc., etc. But the Bible says that if you trust God, you'll be happy. So that's the way that I want to do it. That's the manner in which I want to approach problems. I want to approach it with trusting God, and hence, if I do that, that's considered wise, I'm going to do it his way. And if I don't trust God, I'm not going to consider his word on how he commands me how to handle a situation. Then the opposite is true. I'm not wise, and I won't be happy. I'll be angry, because that's the flesh. It'll give me what I give into it. So there's two ways that we want to talk about today, considering how God deals with people, his children, specifically Christians in application for today. We are either going to be wise or we're going to be foolish. Believers in Jesus Christ are identified and described by the Bible as wise because when they hear the word of God, they listen with their ears and they seek the understanding with their mind. They believe with their heart and they're willing to bring forth fruit from what it desires from their life. You don't have to turn there. Just let me show you quickly on the screen. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Look at Proverbs 9. Just look up to the screen. Verse number 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So, wise children of God, what do? They listen. Not only do they listen with their ear, they trust with their heart, and they're willing to obey whatever the counsel from Scripture is. And when they're wrong, rather than getting upset with the brother or the sister who is pointing out the wrong in their life, they will take heed, take the instruction and the correction, and keep learning. That's wise children today. A quick question before we move on. Are you a wise child of God? Are you a wise child of God today? Are you a wise son of God? Are you a wise daughter of God? Well, according to the Bible, here's how you're going to be considered wise. When the Word of God begins to instruct you and teach you on what you need to do with your body, your life, your time, you're doing it. And then when it begins to expose some faults in your life, some errors in your life, you're willing to correct it because you're trusting God. That's wisdom. That's wise. Those are wise children. But how many of us are foolish today? The foolish will do the opposite. They'll ignore the instruction. They'll argue with the instruction. Not necessarily the vessel, but they're just going to argue with what that verse says because, and then fill in the blanks. Friends, I just want us to understand, here's how we can either be wise or foolish before the eyes of God. Just look up to the screen, look at verse 12. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. Wise believers can receive wisdom, that is, life instruction, correction from the Bible. But however, the change will be for the own individual's life. Look at chapter 10, verse number 8. Look at here, Bible says, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. So for the remaining of this message, I hope you see now, here's how God defines who are his wise children. And here's how he defines foolish. The wise will receive the word of God. And they're going to be willing to be instructed when the word of God begins to point out what's wrong in their life. What's an error in their life, what they're falling short of, what they're not doing. A wise Christian will say, wow, Lord, that's what you said. I'm going to get it right. Thank you, Brother Carlos, for being my pastor, for teaching me. Thank you, Sister Katie. Thank you, someone who's just pointing that out to me. The Lord, I'm going to keep growing. I'm going to keep learning. I'm going to keep doing what it says. The foolish, though, the foolish will argue with that word of God. The foolish will debate with the word of God. The foolish will begin to justify why they're not doing it. God says that's foolish. So they'll receive it or they will ignore it. I want you to see now the difference between the wise and the foolish. Go down a little later in this same chapter. Let's go to verse 19. The Bible says here, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. This is very good. Wise believers, you know what they'll do or they will want to do is rather than trying to spew out of their lips every various perspective and every possible thing, how we can handle a matter, or I think this and you think that, when a problem arises in life, wise children tend to just first be quiet. Wise children first tend to just want to listen before giving you what I think you should do, or here's what I think you should do. You know, wise people tend to just, let me just listen first. Let me keep my mouth shut a little bit. Let me just hear everybody's situation. Let me just hear the outcome. And then they consider God's word, and then they speak. But fools, you know what fools do immediately as soon as a problem? I think this and I think that. And they just start unleashing all their commentary and all their words. You know who they are. You've seen the videos on YouTube of people having problems. I'm just telling you, that's what the Bible says. Look at verse 14. Go a little bit earlier in chapter 10. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. You know what wise Christian children will do? They will memorize scriptures. Foolish Christian children will not want to memorize scriptures. Look at that. It's you want to lay up knowledge, you see there. So what are we talking about? We're talking about wise children as contrasted to foolish children. Wise believers will hold their tongue from sinning, but fools won't. Fools will want to speak all that's on their heart, you know, because they just want to get it out, right? To just make everybody understand what they feel, and here's what I think. I'm just going to speak the truth as it is. But that's foolish. Listen first, sister and brother. Consider the word of God first, sister and brother, and then speak after you first listen. Don't be so hasty to speak. You just got to get it out of your heart, as they say. Wise believers, are you ready now? Let's go to chapter 11, verse number 30. Like I said, we're just going to be in the neighborhood of Proverbs for a while, so just kind of hang out there. Look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30. The Bible says here, in verse number 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Do you see there? So what I want to point out to you, wise Christian believers soul win. They evangelize. They seek to convert others from the error of their ways to trust Christ. But can I share another thing with you, friend? I understand how different churches want to preach, you know, soul winning, like evangelizing, you know, going out there to talk to the lost. But do you know that there's one more way you can soul win for someone? If there's a Christian and they are erring from obeying the word of God, if you win them back, according to the Bible, you won that soul from the error of the way. Are you ready? Let's go to James chapter number 5. This is good. Let's go to James 5. Here's two ways a Christian can soul win. We're going to either go win the lost, or we're going to seek the carnal and the wavering child to bring them back to the right path. I won that soul back to Christ. Look at James 5. Look down here with me to verse 19 through 20. This is good. Bible says here, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him. So you have a church, you got some brothers and sisters coming. You don't see that one brother anymore. You don't see that one sister anymore. Why? Because they're erring from the truth. One of you has enough wisdom and love, remember what we learned earlier, to cover that sin. One of you wants to go out and go after him. You're trying to call him. You're trying to call her. You actually go visit their home and you take your Bible and say, brother, sister, what's going on? We miss you. What's going on in life? You know what the Bible says? If you win them back, if you convert them, look at verse 20. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. You like that? So wise Christian children not only want to evangelize the lost, that is, just to bring anybody to saving faith, but wise Christian children want to seek the erring brother and sister from the church and bring them back to Christ. Isn't that good? So how many of you have actually tried to call a brother and sister today who has not been coming to church, been a little carnal, been a little wayward, been a little lukewarm? How many of you guys have actually gone on your way to try to say, hey, brother, I just want to let you know I love you. Man, can I help you? Can I help restore your walk with Jesus? Because I want to let you know that if you let some of us or one of us help you from erring, we can potentially help the rest of your life from a lot more sins than you've been committing already. That's soul winning. That's good. That's good. But foolish Christians, they don't care. Foolish Christians don't care about the lost soul, and foolish Christians don't care about carnal, wavering souls. So if you want to be wise, begin to have a desire for the lost and the wayward as God's desire is, which is to turn them from error and to bring them back to truth. Wise Christians are those who seek the Word of God for counsel, their pastor, their church leaders, stronger than they for wisdom. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 18. Proverbs chapter 12, you're in the neighborhood, just go to verse number 18. Bible says here, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Christians can either use their mouth to help, to heal, to restore broken hearts, or they can use their mouth and their lips to cut people, to destroy people, to inflict damage when they don't control the intent of their heart and hence the motivation. But why is it wise to be around wise counsel? Well, look at verse 15, same chapter. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Well, Brother Carlos, you don't understand. Here's how I feel. You're right, brother. Brother Carlos, you don't understand. This is how I feel. You're right, sister. You are right in your own eyes. But the reason why you don't want to come and talk to me and the reason why you don't want to talk to another Christian who was going to give you the Bible and not their feelings is because we're going to give you God's counsel. And when God's counsel begins to go contrary to your life, your lifestyle, and your life choices, there's conviction. And hence there's separation because it's identifying in areas of my life that I'm wrong and God's right. So wise Christians are those who are going to want to seek counsel even if it hurts, who are going to seek counsel and prayer and accountability even though they know they may have to change some things. But notice, brother and sister, when we talk with you and we try to fellowship with you, we're just telling you because that's what God said. And if you do it His way, He'll keep your heart in peace. That's what we learned today in the Sunday school hour. So I want to be wise, but I don't want to be wise in my own eyes. I need other Christians who are going to take the Bible and instruct me to keep me on the narrow path. Foolish Christians will ignore wise Christians, and then they'll want to talk to other foolish Christians because they're not on the book, they're more on their feelings, and that's why they find people that agree with them. You guys know who they are. Some of y'all used to be like that. I'm going to raise my hand, Brother Moat, right here. Let's keep talking about this. Let's go to chapter 13, verse number 20. Chapter 13, verse number 20. The Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Wise Christians will desire to fellowship with their church members, pastors, you know, for study, to gain more knowledge, learn, be discipled. Fools don't want to call their pastor. They don't want to hang out. They don't want to have discipleship training. They want to avoid because they enjoy foolishness more than wisdom. So if you want to grow in wisdom, brother, keep hanging out. But if you want to lack and you want to distance yourself and foolishness becomes more attractive to you, then don't be surprised because you're not hanging out with wise believers. We're trying to help you. We're just trying our best to help you. Look at chapter 14, verse 16. Again, we're just going to go verse by verse, different verses, book of Proverbs. Keep turning those pages. Chapter 14, verse number 16 in the book of Proverbs. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but a fool, the fool rageth and is confident. You know, wise Christians don't give in to their feelings. Wise Christians do not give in to their emotions when it's riled up by the fault or a sin or an error of someone else around them. When they respond to life, you know what wise Christians do? They appeal to the Word of God. They appeal to counsel to keep them on the narrow path. But fools, you know what fools do? They rage and they're self-confident. You can show them a verse. You can take them to a Bible passage, right, sister? You're trying to instruct somebody, but here's what God says. And they're going to just continue to rage upon why they're so right in their self-justification. It's because their heart is foolish. They can't discern that. And you're trying to tell them, brother and sister, you got something on your tooth. No, I don't. I'm gone. No, it's right there on your tooth. Anybody been there when you got stuff on your teeth and nobody, you can't see it, but someone else can. And when we're trying to instruct you and tell you, brother, so what you got to do, sister, what you got to do, but they just keep foaming out anger and bitterness against sin and everything else going on. Now you know why. It's because they don't consider God's word more important than their feelings. So Christian, if you find yourself becoming too easily moved by your emotions, why don't you start being wise today? And ask the Lord to give you strength to protect your heart from becoming too emotional. Start being more biblical. Amen. We all need help with that. Chapter 15. Look at verse 2. The Bible says here, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out what? Foolishness. Wise Christians use their mouth to edify others with the scriptures, the knowledge of God. Fools don't. So that's how you can easily identify a brother and sister who is wise or foolish. Hang out with them. Hang out with them when they're going through a difficult time. And then just listen. And if all they're doing is complaining about their spouse, their child, the government, their culture, their pastor secretly behind their back, that's all right. Now you know why. Foolishness. But hang out with that other person who's going through a difficult time. And even though it may be difficult, notice how they're just, but you know, we got to keep praying, brother. But you know what God said here? In other words, they're meditating on the scripture. So a wise Christian is going to use their knowledge rightly. A foolish will not. They're just going to keep pouring out foolishness. Today, friend, where do you find yourself? Which of the two are you here today, friend? You don't have to answer out loud, just between you and God. Do you find yourself being wise with your mouth, or do you find yourself being foolish? When emotions come and people come to you to complain about someone, do you find yourself, yeah, giving into it because you easily were enticed? Or do you find yourself, again, like the scripture said, just quieting the mouth, let me listen. But yeah, you know what? Here's what scripture says about that thing. Do you find yourself being wise? We need help. We need help, all of us. Same chapter, just go to verse 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. Wise Christians seek to help others learn, grow, study, and put that into practice. Fools don't want to do that. That's why they don't want to hang out with you. That's why they don't want to talk to you. That's why they avoid you. Because when you're trying to disperse God's word, they don't want to hear it. It's contrary to their heart. They enjoy everything but God's word. Some of you were like that a long time ago. Some of you are learning, right? Going up and down. But now you can see, if you want to be considered wise by God, use knowledge rightly. Seek to help people. Don't seek to conform to their foolishness. Try to bring them out. And if you find yourself there today as a foolish child because of everything we're learning, the emotions, then get out of it. All you got to do is repent. Say, Lord, I'm tired. I don't want to be foolish today. I want to move forward. Look at chapter 16, Proverbs 16, verse 21. The Bible says here, the wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. That's how God identifies his children. Some of you today are prudent before God, but some of you are foolish. Why? Because when you're learning scripture, you're either going to want to learn more and seek more and be corrected more. God said, you're being prudent. But when you hear scripture and it begins to call you out and it begins to instruct you and it begins to convict you and you don't want to listen to it, no wonder why there's no sweetness going on in your heart. No wonder why there's no increasing in your learning. As you guys can see now, here's what the Lord's talking about. Look at 23. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Isn't that unique? It didn't say God does that. Did you guys read that right? The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth. How about that? So here's a wise Christian. Rather than trying to fix everyone else's mouth around me, you know what the wise Christian does first? Fixes his mouth. You know who you are today when you find your mouth and allowing yourself to just spew out emotions, judgment, foolishness, all that. But you know who you are here that are wise. You're going to begin to discipline your mouth. You're going to begin to teach yourself, but this is what God says. I know how much he offended me. I know how much he hurt my feelings. I know how much this thing in the workplace, but God said this, I'm going to keep loving. I'm going to keep being patient. I'm going to keep being kind. I am going to teach myself wisdom. How about that? Wise Christians use their lips and their words to help. And slowly but surely, they'll continue to mature over time. They'll become good and holy and sound and compassionate because of what their heart is meditating on, which is the Word of God. It's pleasant. It's happy. It's joyful because their influence is from his lips, not their lips. But fools not so. It's very unfortunate. It's quite the opposite for fools. Their influence is from down here, and it's not from up there. Proverbs chapter 18. Keep going to the right, friend, making it easy for you. Just same book, different chapter. Keep going. Chapter 18, look at verse 15. The Bible says here, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Wise Christians do everything in their power to learn more of God's word. Church services, they attend as much as they can. They attend fellowship as much as they can. They want to be discipled as much as they can. They want to serve in the work of ministry as much as they can. But fools don't. Fools compromise. Fools make excuses for they don't want as much knowledge as they can. They can't. Proverbs 22, verse number 17. As you guys can see, we're just going to keep giving you scripture. Look at verse 17. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto your pastor's knowledge. Is that what it says? Your commentary's knowledge. Is that what it says? My knowledge. So what is your pastor doing? I am giving you the words of God. But you know what God said? If you're wise, you better apply your heart to my word. That's all we're doing. So if you want to grow in wisdom, what do you need to do before God? You need to hear, you need to believe, and you need to receive it in your heart. But God, you see there? It's his knowledge. It's his word. I'm just the vessel. I'm just regurgitating it to you. I'm just reminding you of what you should already be feeding on a daily basis. Isn't that funny? Every church on this planet, we all do the basic thing. We have a time of worship, whether you're a Baptist conservative church like ours with hymns or the brethren with a rock band, doesn't matter. I'm just saying, we all come together, we have a Bible, and somebody gives you a message. Generally, that's Christianity 101, right? But how many of them actually desire him in those church services? How many of them actually desire personally him in every single one of those churches? That's what's going to make you wiser. When you come here, you're not just going to come here with your ears. You're not just going to come here with your feet and hands. You're going to come here with your word saying, God, feed me today. I want to be wiser. I hope you came here with that mentality. Wise Christians will listen to their pastor, their leadership, feeding them God's words for extra wisdom. Let's keep reading. Proverbs 23, verse 15. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. You know what's amazing? When you, as a child of God today, want to be wiser, you know whose heart gets happier? God's heart. Yeah, Pastor Carlos will be a lot happier to see more of you involved in discipleship and so on and wanting to step up, of course. But you know whose heart will be more rejoicing more when you want to start being wiser? God's heart. He's the most important. So don't worry about me so much. Worry about your Savior. Amen? Wise Christians make God's heart rejoice, but fools, they grieve His Spirit. Look at Ephesians 4:30 on the screen. You don't have to turn there. Just look them on the screen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30. They're not going to lose their salvation, but they make Him sad. Look at Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So when a Christian is not being wise, but they're being foolish, they're just grieving his heart. It's just like you and I are grieved when someone is doing something that hurts your heart and, you know, they come short of your expectations. You know how you get sad? God gets sad when Christians are living foolish lives, but He still loves them. Because what did the Proverbs say? Love covereth a multitude of sins. So that's what I'm trying to say. Here's what blows my mind away. I know that God is a father to all Christians all over the earth, regardless of which church they go to, because they trusted His Son. But He has foolish children and He has wise children. But you know what He said? It grieves my heart, but I still love Him. Blows my mind away. I don't know how God can do that, because when you grieve me, you know what happens to me? I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to hang out with you. I don't want to go to your house. I don't want to just have dinner with y'all and all this good fellowship. I don't, but my flesh. But you know what the Spirit of God in me does? You know what Christ in me teaches me to do? Love, forgive, forbear. Yeah, they didn't do that for you, Brother Carlos, but they're still saved. You're right, God. They're your child. You're right, God. They're still a part of your body. You're right, God. They're your friend. My God, I'm going to be their friend. My God, I'm still going to be a friend to them, even though they're not a friend to me. I'm still going to be ready, on call, and available to love them because You love them. So when I start thinking more like Christ, notice I'm happier. I'm joyful because your flesh doesn't steal my joy. The Spirit of God, what is He doing? Man, He's pouring out God's love every day on my heart. That's why I got to smile for you every time. But as soon as I take my heart off the Word of God, and I start trying to love you after my flesh, no wonder why there's division and upsets and contentions and so on and so forth. So who wants to be wiser today? Anybody here want to be a wiser child of God? Okay, a few of you. All right. We're praying for the rest of you guys. All right, chapter 24. Let's go back there. Proverbs 24. Proverbs chapter 24. You guys are still in that book. Amen. Keep your Bible there. All right, now let's go to verse number... Proverbs chapter 20... Actually, let's go to 28, Proverbs 28. Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 7. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. Obedient Christians are wise children. Disobedient Christians are foolish. Remember what I talked about, grieving the Spirit of God? That's what happens. When you hang out with other foolish, carnal Christians that kind of stir your emotions and you want to act like them, it just shames the Spirit of God. Make them sad. But if you want to do right and you want to keep God's heart happy relationally with you, if you will, man, then do His word even in the face of a carnal brother who you love. But you know what they're counseling you to do is wrong. You be the stronger one. You decide to do the right thing even in their face, friend. All right, let's go to verse 26, same chapter. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. There you have it. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Wise Christians don't trust their heart. Foolish people do. There you have it. If you don't remember any of the verse, remember that one today. How am I identified before God? Am I a wise child of God or am I a foolish child of God? There you have it. Every time I trust in my heart, I am foolish. But every time I check my heart and I trust the word of God over my feelings, I am wise. You want to be wise today, friend? Consider your feelings, not authoritative, not God, the word of God. Consider that more important. Wise Christians will study to be quiet. They don't have to talk about every I thinks and feelings because they prefer to listen and to pray and to meditate. You can read that later in 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Let's talk about fools now. The first half of this message, we were generally talking about wisdom and wise children. Give you a little bit about the opposite, but now let's focus a little bit more about fools. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1 now. And again, if we go too quick, that's all right. Just look up to the screen. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So according to the scripture, I'm a fool when I trust in my heart. And then number two, I'm a fool because I despise wisdom and instruction. Even though I'm saved, I asked Christ to save me, I believed the gospel, and I even got baptized, and I even believe the same Bible Brother Carlos believes in. But when I begin to entertain my feelings more, and I begin to reject the counsel of a scripture that someone is trying to instruct me with, I'm a fool. I'm not wise. Look at verse 22. The Bible says here, "How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge?" In other words, you just consider God's word not as important. It's not as important. You consider your feelings more important. You consider the murmuring and the complaining about people behind their back. You just enjoy that. Well, according to God, you hate his knowledge. And you know, how many of you guys ever heard about Jesus teaching that in the New Testament, "Unless you hate your father and mother more than me, you cannot be my disciple"? Anybody heard that before? You love Jesus more than your parents. You love less your family for the sake of Christ. When fools, they're not necessarily outright hating God, but they just don't love his word more. They love everything else more, if you will, than his word. All right, Proverbs 10, 14. Again, what are we talking about now? We're just talking about fools. Proverbs 10, 14, the Bible says here, "Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction." Fools like to hang out on the borders of death, you know, sin, because their wise friends in the presence of light and life convicts them. Sometimes they say, "Brother Carlos, man, I just felt convicted just talking to you and hanging out with you. Why, brother? I'm not holier than thou. I'm a wretched man, but I understand what they're saying because I know what you're going to tell me is true. I already know what you want me to do, and that's what I heard from a brother. And I just say, then why don't you just trust God? Why don't you just trust the Lord?" Verse 18, same chapter. "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool." When you go around gossiping about people, murmuring about people behind their back, according to God, you're a fool. You have the same Bible. You believe the right Bible. Some of you guys have convictions now. Some of y'all are modestly dressed. Some of y'all are doing great outwardly. But if you find yourself slandering Christians, you're a fool, according to God. Doesn't matter how much knowledge you claim to have. That's why, Brother Carlos, you guys know me. For those of you who have been under my preaching for all these years now, I don't try to speak evil of other Christians. I can call out their false doctrine, but I'm not going to make fun of their names and their person and the way their hairstyle is, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of the brethren that you listen to sometimes on YouTube and people that you're going to hear come across them, that's what they do. Well, according to God, they're fools. I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to be a fool. Today, my wife and I are reading a scripture. Real important, right, Katie? You know what, guys? Just turn there with me real fast. This is good. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You guys need to hear this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is powerful. How many guys have ever heard of the idea of being a stumbling block? Anybody heard about that before? In other words, if I do something that might cause someone to stumble, I hinder them because of what I did. Anybody know what I'm talking about, being a stumbling block? Okay. But we love Jesus, don't we? We claim to believe in Jesus. We claim the Bible and all that stuff. Okay. Do me a favor. Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Look at verse 11. The Bible says here, "And through thy knowledge the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, are you ready now? Ye sin against Christ. So I hope you're listening now. You claim to have knowledge, and you claim to have convictions, and you claim to be a part of a Baptist church that we got sound doctrine. But when you begin to use your knowledge and you begin to offend other Christians who are weaker in their conscience, they don't know what you know, brother. They don't know what you know, sister. But something about your character, something about your doctrine, something about everything else that you have to offer, you begin to offend them in their faith with Christ. You know what your Bible just told you? You're sinning against Jesus in verse number 12. So that's why it's very important who you talk about. Because if they are a Christian, you're talking about Christ's body. You're talking about members of the body of Christ. That's why I'm warning you, brother and sister. Those guys online, they're very entertaining. They're very flashy with their video effects and how they call out people, blah, blah, blah. But I'm just telling you right now, friend, if you want to stand before Jesus and you want him to be happy with you, you do everything in your power to be a blessing to the members of his body, even when they're wrong. You try to do right by them 100% of the time. You do your best. You do your best to use your knowledge to edify them. You do your best to use your knowledge to help them, not to destroy them. So we know about foods, and some of us, we only eat certain foods, and so others eat other foods, et cetera, et cetera. Before I stop bussing out to a Christian about foods and diets, and I begin to give them doctrine and expository, why can't I just say, brother, I'm just going to become all things. Hey, you like that food? Cool. I got you, brother. I'm going to get you that food. Why? Because I love Jesus enough. He died for you, and I want to edify you with what you know right now. You may not know all the doctrines yet, but you're here, and that's all I care about. I'm just going to help you to reflect that. But when you begin to use your knowledge, well, brother, we're no longer under the law, and you know you're weak according to Romans 14. All of a sudden, whoa, you're using your knowledge to offend somebody. You're sinning against Christ. So that's a free nugget. I just want to put that in there. Use your knowledge to help Christians. Do not use it to destroy Christians. All right, let's go back to Proverbs. Back to Proverbs, chapter number 12. Let's read together in verse number 15. Proverbs 12, you guys are already there. Anybody here so far? Do you guys believe the Bible? Anybody? Okay. You guys love Jesus? All right, who wants to be more like Jesus? Anybody here? Okay, I hope you're seeing it now. Look at verse 15, Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Look at verse number 16. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. Fools, they can't wait to just tell all the world about the problems. Fools can't wait to complain. Fools can't wait to just get it off their chest and to be real, and I'm just going to tell it as it is. Fools can't wait to complain about problems that are going on in their life, with their families, with their spouses, with their children. They don't care who it is. They don't care when it is. That's just the nature of fools. Their past feeling, their anger is getting the best of them because they feel stronger in bitterness than forgiveness. But you know what a wise Christian does? Look at verse 16. But a prudent man covereth shame. Even though you messed up on me, brother and sister, I'm not going to start going around telling the whole world. And vice versa, I'm not going to start talking about your problems in front of everybody else to hear, because that is not right. If you want to be wise, you know what you do? You cover that shame. It's between you and God and that individual. You take care of it. You don't spread it out. That's not the gospel that you're called to preach. Amen. Anybody here? It's getting a little quiet. That's all right. Come on, guys. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Chapter 13. Some of us have been guilty of just in the midst of other people, you're just gonna start pouring out our angers and wraths and backbitings, but that's not what God wants you to do. Keep it to yourself. God knows who's more offended than he is, not you. And if he can forgive, then you should. Chapter 13, verse 20, the Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Fools hang out with fools. They usually stay away from the wise because they know that the wise have light, but the fool likes darkness. That's why. Anybody out there? All right, chapter 15, verse 2. Chapter 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Fools speak foolishness. That's the language. That's the tongue. If you can't interpret it, then you already know. That's just the tongue of foolishness. Amen. All right, verse 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. So you know what fools do? Fools avoid helping others learn. Fools don't want to study more, and fools will do their best to prevent others from learning. You see? Fools don't care about you growing in the faith. They don't want to edify you at all. They don't care if you're learning more of the Bible. They don't care if you're coming to church on time. They're not trying to motivate you. It's because their heart. It's because their heart. That's why when I'm telling you, brother, I hope you come to church on time, brother. Yeah, come to church like you said you would. Yeah, let's go soul winning like you know you should. We're trying to help you to be wiser because we're dispersing to you the knowledge of God. A couple of more, and then we'll close with our last verse in the New Testament. Let's go to chapter number 28. Proverbs 28, verse number 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Fools trust their heart more than the word of God. That's why they're foolish. Now, before we come to a close, the title of today's message is How Does God Deal with His Wise and Foolish Children? Well, I'm going to show you now. And then before we close, we're going to read some Bibles on how to help us to keep ourselves where God wants us to be, regardless of where we find ourselves at, or some of the brethren here today, because we want to be wise. All right, a couple more places. Matthew chapter 5, and then we're going to go to Luke chapter 6. So let's go to the book of Matthew, first book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 5. I don't know about you, friend, but I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be less of Daddy Adam. I want to be more like Christ in his heart and the heart of his Father more than me and my feelings and my past and how I treat you, how I love you. But if I find myself treating others better than you, then that's my problem, not yours. It's my heart being foolish, not yours. I can't blame nobody but myself, and that's exactly what we all have to deal with. No one makes you do anything, brother. You make it yourself. All right, Matthew 5, verse number 43. We're done. Two more places here. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 43, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. A lot of us grew up like that. Doesn't matter what culture you came out of, white culture, Mexicano culture. You heard it said, what goes around comes around. See, y'all were already philosophers at that time. Y'all didn't even know you had to go to the Middle East and all that. No, you guys were already philosophizing. I'm only going to be good with my people, my family. I don't give a dang about no one else, right? Y'all already heard about that. But here's what Jesus said in verse number 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Anybody still want to be like Christ today? Anybody here still a Christian? All right, I hope you are. Jesus said, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. All but Jesus. Are you talking to the church? Because you no. You said you love Jesus. You said you believe in him. You said you're his disciple and you called on him to save your soul. Well, this is the mind of God today, friend. And if you call yourself a friend of Christ, and if you call yourself a Christian, but you are not doing good to people that treat you bad, you are not doing good to people that hurt your feelings, you are not treating those that despitefully use you with Christ's goodness, then you are not following Christ's walk. You're not being a wise child of God. You're being foolish. We need help with that. But you see, what happens is when Christians try to be more like a man of God, a pastor, or some teacher that they exalt more than Christ because they did it, and everybody says hoorah to that guy who curses or, you know, uses hard language against another Christian, they are failing you. They're not giving you Christ's example. Jesus said, love your enemies. Jesus said, bless people that treat you bad. And if you're hearing from another voice, it's okay to treat others bad. It's okay to make fun of them. Then that's not the voice of God. That's the voice of foolishness. Look at verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Notice, not to be more like disciples of that one guy, to be children of God. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust every single day. Your God is pouring out rain upon wicked people. Every single day, your God is pouring out rain upon Christians. Every single day, your God is being merciful and good to people who treat him good and people who treat him bad. But when you call yourself a Christian, you come short and you're justified. You're not being a child of the Father. You're being a child of foolishness. We need help with that. You know what he said here? For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? Can you believe that unbelievers, they treat each other nice? They get along just fine. When a problem happens, yeah, I understand they may bust out a beer or some drug to kind of be cool with each other, but they get over it and they keep being friends to the day they die. And Christians can't seem to get over it. And before you know it, I'm only going to treat others good who treat me good. If you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Who needs to be more like Jesus now? Anybody after that? I do. Luke chapter 6, I'm letting the word of God wash me from foolishness. Now we're putting wisdom into practice for those of you who want to be wise. We are hearing the word of God with our ears, and we're believing it with our heart, and we're going to receive instruction and correction in our personal individual lives to be more like him. Now we're going to grow. Now we're going to be wiser, friend. I hope you're receiving it now. Luke chapter 6, almost done. A couple more. Verse number 31. How many of you guys have heard it said, treat others the way you want to be treated? What do they call that? The what rule? They got that from Jesus. They got that from the Bible. Y'all ready? Look at Luke 6, verse 31. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. So how can you expect for me to be what you want me to be to you if you're not even being that to me, brother? You want us to go head over heels to meet your need and to do, and you're not even coming to soul win on Saturdays. You're not even showing up to church on time, but you want us and you expect of us to have all these perfections about us. And when we come short, sometimes you guys murmur against me because of my weakness. I'm just telling you, if you want to be like Christ, why don't you do more of trying to treat me more like you want to be treated? Maybe it'll take more of the offense off from me, and then it'll show you in the mirror, man, I'm still messed up. I can't even treat Brother Carlos as good as I want to be him to treat me. I keep treating him bad. All right, now verse 32. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. It doesn't even take a Christian to do it now. You hear me? Just regular people. Unbelievers. It doesn't matter if they're in the barracks and on Camp Pendleton. It doesn't matter if they're out here in the barrio. It doesn't matter if they're back home in Detroit. It doesn't matter if they're back there in Mexico. Sinners treat each other nice. Sinners treat each other good. But for some reason, we can't even do that. For some reason, I'm just telling you, foolishness, guys. We all have it. We need to get rid of it. If you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. If you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. Now you're ready. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. So what are we talking about now? Wise children. Who do we not want to be? Foolish children. According to Jesus, here's how you can be a child of God. Here's how you can represent the Most High God. Here's how you can represent the true God. Be kind. Be kind to the people who are unthankful. Be good to the people who are evil. Treat those people like you want to be treated. But now as a Christian, you treat them how Christ treated them, which is love. Love doesn't demand anything for you to give back to. Love just gives without anything in hope of return. when Jesus Christ died on the sins for the whole world, he died for the black man, the white man, the green man, every man. He died for the murderer. He died for the kidnapper. He died for the adulterer. He died for the homosexual. He died for that poor Mexicano in the mountains. He died for that poor Chinese man in the hills. But now, for some reason, we think ourselves spiritual now when we can't even be kind anymore to Christians who treat us good or bad. I'm just telling you, we need to be more like Christ. I'm just telling you, brethren, we need to be wiser. I'm telling you, brother, we had a lot of foolishness in our heart that we need the Word of God to cleanse out, because if I can't be kind to you every time I see you, you can't be kind to me every time you see me, then we're not looking like children of God. We're looking like children of foolishness. Last verse. Let's go to the book of 1 John, chapter number 4. We're going to end here. 1 John, chapter 4. What's the answer then, Brother Carlos? What do you want me to see from today's scripture? I just want you to believe Jesus. I just want you to trust God. I just want you to believe that God's word is right, and I just want you to know that if you do it His way, you'll be happy. I want you to see that doing your way, you're not satisfied. You're not happy, and that's the problem. I want you to see that in the end of the day, love is the greatest virtue and weapon you have against unthankful, unkind, foolish people. And for those that are fools here today, I just want you to see your God's love for you is still greater than your foolishness. He is ready to get you out of that and to get you wiser if you just respond. Now, last chapter, last verses, we're going to close with prayer. He, verse number 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God. I know he's writing to Christians. I know he's writing to people who are born again and saved. But you know what he's saying there? You don't know the heart of God if you claim to be a Christian, because you're not loving like God. You're not forgiving like God. You know who Christ is. He already told you in chapter 1. But if you can't just love, you don't even know who he is. For God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So love, it's selfless, it's sacrificial, it doesn't expect anything in return. Herein is love, verse 10, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So who's thankful for Jesus? Anybody here? Who's thankful for God making the first move? Anybody here? Okay, now, you said it. Verse number 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. You know what Romans 5 says? Some of you guys like to preach it on the street, and that's okay. While we were yet, Christ died. Oh, but when that church member comes and hurts my feelings, I ain't gonna treat him good. They didn't treat me bad. You see that? See foolishness? You see how quick it gets back into our heart and our thinking? But you say you love Jesus, whom you're proclaiming to the world. He died for you, sinner. But man, that guy at church hurt my feelings. I don't want to love that guy. Let's read it one more time. Like wise children. You see, we're helping. We're getting the foolishness out of our mind. Beloved, if God so loved us, we, say with me now, ought also to. That's the answer. That's the answer. That's the answer to the problem. That is the solution to the problem. It's always going to be love. Love covereth all sins. Love covereth a multitude of transgressions. And it's going to be love that's going to compel you to want to change. All right? Last verse. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given unto us of his Spirit, and so on and so forth. So the greatest evidence of salvation is not necessarily how much Bible somebody knows. It's not the Bible you carry. It's not necessarily the way you dress, even though that's important. The greatest evidence of testifying that you are saved and born again is you loving someone who's unlovable, is you being kind to someone who's not thankful and kind to you. And when you continue to do that and you continue to respond to it and you work on it, notice what it says, perfected in us. That means it's maturing, it's growing, it's being stronger over time. You haven't seen God, the Bible says. I haven't seen him. But if I love you like God loved me, you know what we just talked about? Man, he's right here. I can see him through you by the way you treat me. So let's go ahead and get the brethren. If you guys can help, I don't even know if we have it set up there. But Katie, Brother Giovanni, can you guys help out, pass out the elements for this for the communion? We want to thank you for those of you that are tuning in online, but we're going to tune out now for the Lord's Supper. We thank you for tuning in. May the Lord bless you.